Well, you guys are looking real comfortable this morning. Go ahead and stand on your feet with me. We're going to pray together. Oh, it got quiet in the house of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This whole morning has been a morning of freedom in Jesus. And what's beautiful about Jesus is whenever you have the greater one living on the inside of you, that freedom is everywhere you go. Every step that you take is a step made in freedom. Praise God. It's simply who you are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to get in and do battle for it. It belongs to you. Jesus already paid for your freedom in full on the cross. Praise God. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord and to be a part of the body of Christ. Before we pray, I'll introduce myself. My name's Anna Gresham, married to the senior pastor of this house, Joshua Gresham. Love you. No. It was a pause for effect. I was trying to build up and have a moment. It's my husband. We'll be married 18 years this June. We have four beautiful children, three boys and one girl. I've got a couple of them in here maybe. There's one on the front row. And we are excited about what God is doing in the house of the Lord. And across this nation, in this world this morning, amen, in the body of Christ. God is doing great things today, and the word that the Lord has given me goes right along with our kingdom message series for the month, but it's from generation to generation. If we look around, we've got quite a few generations in this room, and we are blessed because of it. And there's going to be a stirring and a shift that takes place today, and I'm extremely excited about it. So let's all just hook together in prayer and join in agreement that you are going to receive, and I am going to receive, and everyone online watching, you're going to receive a word from the Lord today. We're going to grab a hold of it with two hands. We're going to place it deep in our heart, and we're going to run with it. Amen? And it's by the Spirit of God. Aren't we so thankful that it's by His Spirit? The Holy Spirit is so much smarter than we are, and we need Him. It's good stuff. So let's just go ahead before the Lord today together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for what you already have begun to do. You are great and greatly to be praised. I thank you for your word this morning. God, that we're not only hearers of your word, we're doers of your word. Lord, we thank you that we are going to receive this word. Holy Spirit, illuminate it in our hearts today. I thank you for Holy Ghost wake-up calls this morning. I thank you for vision. I thank you for renewed vision. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for boldness, for strength. Lord, I praise you, Heavenly Father, for healings taking place, salvations taking place. Lord, those that have been far from you to get rededicated this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a Holy Spirit strategic plan for Trailhead Church in ministering to this next generation. We come against every blinder in the name of Jesus. We come against every sin and sin consciousness and spirit of the world, and we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that today we raise a standard in our homes, in our marriages, in our callings and giftings. Lord, it's all from you and it's all for you, and we're so thankful for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we just dedicate this unto you. And Lord, we receive every good gift that you have for us. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said. Hey, before you sit down, Alan Gardner, come on up here. I'm going to meet you down there. Pastor Josh and I are going to pray over you real quick. No, it's just because of who you are. Hey, you guys, don't y'all be quiet. Y'all just pray. Praise God. You know, the Lord sees you and He knows you. He knew you before you were even in your mama's womb. Right when you walked across that, Lord just wants to have a special blessing for you today because He has called you out for such a time as this to do great and mighty things. And those things that you've gone through, things that have been buried deep, it's been hard. But bless God, the Lord does a healing and a cure. from the top of your head to the soles of your feet to be used for his glory and his power and his might. So right now in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every good gift you've placed on the inside of Alan to be used for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you for Holy Ghost boldness right now. Woo, thank you, Lord Jesus, just to saturate him. Saturate him, Lord, with your presence. We speak a blessing over him. And Satan, you're a dirty liar. We rebuke every foul lie in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that the only voice that he hears is yours. We thank you, Lord, that Alan is operating from that position of freedom. Free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, and we thank you. Oh, and you're such a wonderful dad and a godly husband. We thank you, Lord. You have so much to give. So we praise you, Father, for a birthing taking place. Woo, Lord, we thank you. You're birthing it out of them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Great and mighty works, great and mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Oh, we take back what the enemy has stolen. We praise you, Lord, for it. God, you're the master restorer. We thank you for full restoration and increase in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are who Christ says you are, and that's it, period. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, a mighty Son of God. You have a heavenly Father. Ooh, a daddy God. You have a Father who loves you, who's created you, who is for you. Thank you, Lord, for it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Now, y'all just give the Lord glory. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We just lift up the name of Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Father God. My mom, her father, suffered from alcoholism when she was 9 years old. He died in a car accident, drunk driving. He was the one driving under the influence of alcohol. And her testimony is one of truly receiving God as her daddy God, as her heavenly Father. And this morning, there could be many of you that you've been without an earthly dad or an earthly parent. And I want to encourage you right now that you have a heavenly Father that loves you, that has adopted you, that calls you his own, that is for you. You don't walk out of this place today without knowing that you know who your Father is and that he sent his Son Jesus to come in and to graft you into the body of Christ, to graft you into his family. You see, we're all created by God, but you don't become his child until you make Jesus Lord over your life. And when you do, man, I tell you what, he's got so many blessings, so many promises, a gift, a calling on your life to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And you've gone through some hard things. You've gone through some challenging things. And you look back and you say, God, why me? Why did I have to go through that? And this is where he comes in and he turns that pain for his glory, to show you of his power and his restoration and his love and his might, of who he is on the inside of you. Beauty for ashes. Woo! You've been carrying around with that garment of mourning for too long. Mourning what wasn't, mourning what shoulda, coulda, woulda, what hasn't been, what you wish woulda happened. It's time to lay that down and to pick up a garment of praise and thanksgiving and begin to worship the Lord, begin to magnify the Lord, and begin to operate in who God's called you to operate in. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. I was thinking about Ephesians 2:10 of how we were created for good works and the purpose that God has for our life. Those good works, he's already prepared for you. You just have to walk in them. In study group, Erin Hamrick, she's a baker. Erin, I see you back there. She made some really good things this morning. We were talking about how we were created for good works, and I said, it's like if Erin baked us a cake, and all we had to do was eat it. That's really awesome. It's like God has prepared something good just for you. He already knew about it. He already prepared it for you. All you have to do is receive it and walk in it. That makes me want to take a lap. I tell you what, some of you came in here, think about this, feeling defeated, like you have no purpose, like you have no vision. The enemy's been out here telling you who you're not this whole week, devaluing God's plans and purposes in your life. And I'm telling you this morning, he already has a purpose for you. You just have to grab it, receive it, plant it deep, and walk in it. Praise God. Now, right? You know it. It's who you are. Did we already pray? Yeah, we did. Y'all can have a seat. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. So I have a word for the church today that was birthed from a burden for the church of tomorrow. I'll say it again. I've got a word for the church today that was birthed from a burden for the church of tomorrow. The past couple of years, the Lord has been having me pray specific prayers for this generation, specifically for leaders and laborers for the harvest to rise up and truly take ownership to minister to this next generation in the kingdom of God. So what's going to take place today? I believe that God is going to open our hearts and expand our vision to desire for the next generation to come to know him. The Lord is going to expand your vision this morning for this next generation. And I'm extremely excited about it. It's by his grace and his mercy that he's going to give us a Holy Spirit strategic plan for each of us. And you know, it all looks different of the unique giftings and talents that God's given on the inside of you. But it's all to grow the kingdom of God from generation to generation. So we know that the foundation of God's kingdom is built upon the love of God, right? Let's look at this foundationally. God's kingdom is built upon the love of God given through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, we're to give the love of Christ to the next generation. Let's start this off real simple. We're to give the love of Jesus to the next generation. Before I minister, from the time I was 20 years and up, I would get a message, or if I was with my mom, she'd come to me, and what she would tell me is very simple. She'd say, Anna, give him Jesus. Now, really, I could just tell you all that this morning, and we could pray and just leave, because that is my message as a whole right now. Give him Jesus. I remember the first time I received it, I was real nervous, you know. Pastors, we all ministers, we get nervous up here. It's not us. Okay, we need the Lord to just, man, it's his power, it's his might. I got that message, and just this sweet peace just fell right over me because I know who's living inside of me. And I know that freely what I've received, freely I can give. So I thought, okay, I can give people Jesus. Part of my prayer for you this morning of what God's going to stir up in your heart is that very thing of who Jesus is on the inside of you and what you have to give. There are a lot of you, you've been believing the lie that you don't have much to give to the next generation. Well, we just stomp on that lie right now with our gospel shoes of peace. I'm still squishing it. I killed a spider yesterday, and it was a jumping spider in my kitchen. And you know how when you thought you killed it, and then it has one more jump in it? And I was like, no, you don't. Sometimes that's how these lies come in. You mean business with it, right? Y'all, some of you have been playing around with it for too long that you just think this is who you are. And there's been so much discouragement, just been hanging out, feeling not useful, and that's not what God wants. There's some of you, it's been hard because you've battled church hurt. And a part of the reason why you've not stepped in or pressed in is because, and it's serious, you've gone through some hard things. And this morning in prayer, the Lord said he's going to heal you from that church hurt here today. But it's up to you to receive. So if that's you and that bears witness with your heart, I want you to go ahead and just begin to release that to the Lord this morning. Because you have a mighty gift and calling from God. And it's time to stop wandering. It's time to press in and settle in and grow some roots. God wants to use you. Okay? So we see that freely we've received, freely we give. It's going to take work and obedience to take the word of God to the next generation. All right? It's going to take prayer, time spent in the word of God, hearing the word of God. What we sow, we will reap. How we judge is the same way we will be judged. Man, I was reading that in the book of Matthew a couple months ago. It hit me like a ton of bricks. The same measure that you extend judgment is the same measure you will receive judgment. We'll just let that settle right here. Right there. Praise God. Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. Then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. That's interesting. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Ooh, what a beautiful picture of Jesus. We're to bring the children to Jesus. Let's just get real simple with this set of scriptures. How? We don't hinder them. How? We continue in the word. You're saying, wait, I can hinder them? Yeah, the disciples were in that moment there. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, hey, Jesus, you're ministering. You're doing all of these great things. He says, oh, no, he was greatly displeased. You know, here at Trailhead Church, we are not babysitters in those classrooms. We are ministers for the kingdom of God. Your youth are getting ministered to. Our student ministry, they're getting ministered to. Praise God. Children are examples. I love in this set of scripture, children are examples to us on how to receive from God fully, freely, with joy. I was in children's church a couple of Sundays ago. 3/4 of them had their Bibles, jumping in, excited for what God is doing. God has blessed Trailhead Church as a generational church that is alive. And what's so lovely, whenever you get back in there and you get back in with these teenagers, you see a generation that is hungry for the things of the Lord. And then we have been given this beautiful opportunity to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And then I love in this set of scripture that Jesus took them in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. We have a hands-on God. And this is a great example that we are to be hands-on as well. It wasn't that he just said, okay, you can come to me, but I need all of the disciples to do everything over here, and I need you over here to do everything over here. No, Jesus took the responsibility upon himself to bless them. This is for each of us. There is not one person in this room that is exempt from ministering to the next generation. We each have something to sow. It's our responsibility to give them Jesus. So I've got three directions from the Word of God this morning that's going to help us in how we cannot be a hindrance in the kingdom of God to this next generation, but how we are to be a blessing. How are we to come alongside and to lift up this next generation? Number one is as an example. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I absolutely love Luke chapter 1. Verses 46 through 50. This is the song of Mary after she was just with her cousin Elizabeth. And what's so beautiful about this, I'm just going to read these first few verses of this song. But Mary is a lovely example of being young, but recognizing I have something to give. God wants to use me for this next generation. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to come in and to be a part of your divine redemptive plan. So if you're 12, 13, 14, you are a part of what I'm ministering this morning. If you're in your 20s, you are a part of what I'm ministering this morning. This isn't just for, you say, oh, great, Pastor Anna, she's ministering to all these old people in here. No. Each one of us have something to give. All right, listen to this song. It's absolutely lovely. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Woo! For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary recognized that she was an example, that God wanted to use her, and she feared the Lord. She had reverence and honor and glory. Do you see this whole song? The beginning of this is all about Jesus. It's all about who God is. As an example, this isn't about self. You see, it's never about self. And oh, don't we live in a self-fulfilled generation? In order to press in and to truly know that you have something to give as an example, it's first knowing who your number one example is. God, I magnify you. This isn't about me. This isn't about what I can do. This is not about who I am. This isn't about how great the gift God has given me. No. You're missing it then. This isn't about getting famous or doing something really awesome. No, this is simply about Jesus and who he is and how great he is and how wonderful he is. And that we can magnify his holy name. God regarded you, and his mercy is upon you. For what? From generation to generation. This is of God's grace and mercy in your own life. It's knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And we're to live as an example from Christ's love for us. It's who he is on the inside of us. You know what I love about this is that there always has to be a godly generation. There's going to have to be a generation of folks that just stand up and say, I'm going to be godly. I'm going to live holy. I have a responsibility. I'm a child of God. I might be in this world, but I'm not of this world. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look here, compare and contrast what this looks like. There are many people today living, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the beginning of this, with the spirit of the world, and it's hindering others. In verse 5, he talks about having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What does that mean? Very simply, you are not allowing the power of God to transform you. You're walking around looking like you got it together, but guess what? You're still living in sin, living ugly, not allowing God's mercy and grace to truly transform your life. Let's get in and see what it looks like. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong and haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. The enemy is out to deceive you, to lie to you, to devalue, to come in and get you to turn away at any cost. He doesn't want the next generation to come to know Christ. In the last days, we see there are so many different avenues to go down to turn our eyes from Jesus and from the truth. What I love in Timothy ministering to Paul is, well, we don't stop there. He comes in and he tells Timothy who he is. In verse 10, he says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me. And he said that, and what persecutions that I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You are known by your fruit. Period. We can break it down very simply. You're known by your fruit. And it's biblical fruit that we're producing here. There's got to be a Holy Ghost wake-up call in our homes that if you recognize that you are falling into this, that you say, whoa, 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 Lord, I cry out to you. I repent. I submit myself to you and I turn from this. God, I'm going to press in. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to begin to find out who I am in Christ and hook up with someone because I have something to give. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then I love these two scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's you. That's who you are. So number two, we're to come to this next generation. Number one was as an example. Number two, as a teacher of the word. That's how we don't become a hindrance. Paul says, hey, you know how to not be like them? You stay in the word of God. You get in, you're not just a hearer of the word, you're a doer of the word. You're taking this word and applying it to your life. And you guys, this isn't all about, oh, Pastor Anna thinks we just gotta be perfect. No. You've gotta be surrendered to the one who is perfect. And then he's doing a perfect work on the inside of you. And then you're every single day saying, Lord, I thank you that I lay down my will. I lay down who I am. And I pick up the cross of what you have for me. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're going to use me today. One of the greatest gifts that Joshua and I can give our children is showing them what mercy looks like. Undeserved forgiveness when we walk in love towards one another. We mess up in front of our kids all the time. And we repent, and we apologize, and we show them the love of Jesus. It's not about being perfect. It's about going to the Lord when you mess up and asking for his help and then not identifying with the sin or staying stuck in it. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, when you get into the Word of God, you'll find out that that generational curse has been broken off your life and it doesn't pass on to your kids. You see, this is how and why, as an example, you can't be an example of anything you don't know. That we get in and we say, all right, Lord, I'm digging deep. And then I'm going to hook up with people that are going to come alongside of me. And they're going to encourage me in faith. And they're going to pray with me. I'm going to hook up with other couples. And I'm going to hook up with other single people. And I'm going to press in. I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to volunteer and I'm going to serve. And I'm going to find my family here. Joshua's cleaning out our garden boxes yesterday. And, okay, I mean, it was a hot mess is what it was. Every time I went out there, I was like, hey, did you find a snake? He was like, what in the world? The wood was all rotten, everything, but he was pulling out old tomato sticks, okay? Like all the stakes that I would use for my tomato vines. And I love the analogy where each one of us, pshw, pshw. Do you like those sound effects? In order to be fruitful, that we're hooking arms together and that we've got Jesus as the center. And just like those tomato vines, they need something to support them as they grow, right? That's each one of us coming alongside one another, encouraging one another, not hindering one another. That's the same for this next generation, that as they begin to sprout up and grow, we say, okay, let me get a string and tie you to me, right? We're hooking arms together, but it's according to God's word as encouragers of what God is doing in our lives. And I love Mary and Elizabeth is a beautiful picture from generation to generation of encouragement, of excitement of what God was doing in their life. And what's beautiful about this, that it wasn't about, Mary had every right to be like, oh my goodness, like half the song just be a hot mess. A lot of teenagers, when they go through breakups, they want to listen to the saddest song ever. Y'all remember that? You think of like, all of y'all just thought of one probably when you were a teenager. But I love Mary. Here she finds out she's going to carry the Son of God. And she starts off just magnifying the Lord. What a beautiful example of what we are to give to this next generation. And it's going to come through being a teacher of the Word of God. We know through this set of scripture, it also says, I want to touch on this. Persecution is going to come when you stand up for Jesus and live godly. It's going to happen. Satan doesn't want this next generation to know the Lord. He's going to persecute you. But what's beautiful, let's see, what did Paul say? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me? Wow. Praise God. It's not a reason to stop. Some of you stopped because you've battled some persecution. You've gone through offense, gone through some hard things, some challenges, possibly in the church, in your own personal life. Here you are, you started pressing in, you're growing. God's using you, you're teaching the word, and boom, sucker punched. Because the enemy's out to just trip you up. Because he knows what's going to take place when you persevere and endure and press on. Or maybe you went back and you fell into an old sin pattern again. God is the master restorer. Stop allowing past sin to determine your future of how you bless others. When he said old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, that's the truth. It's just the truth. When he said you're a new creation in Christ, that's the truth. That's who you are. You have something to give. You are not disqualified. God has qualified you through his grace and his mercy. And he wants to use you for such a time as this. That's who you are. All right, turn to Psalm chapter 78. This is such a good passage of scripture. Psalm 78. Verses 1 through 8. Give ear, all my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings or deep sayings, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come to the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart right and whose spirit was not faithful to God. We see in Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, we have three things here specifically that he tells us to tell the next generation. He says, tell them of God's praises. Tell them of God's praises. Tell them of his strength. And tell them of his wonderful works. We're to open our mouths and declare the praises of the Lord to the next generation. What is it that you've been speaking in your house? What is it that you've been speaking in your position of influence towards this next generation? This is really simple. I mean, really, as you write this down, this is to stir you up if you were unsure of like, all right, what do I give? Pastor Anna, give me a formula. Boom, here's your formula. Of his praises, of his strength, and his wonderful works. How do we do this? Well, we're going to learn the word. We're still in point number two of teachers of the word. We're going to learn the word. Why do we learn the word? Because that's how we train. Okay? When the word of God says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. In the Amplified, it even says, in their unique bent. Meaning the Holy Spirit has a strategic plan through his word on each individual child or student. Isn't that awesome? But what are we to train? You all know that training is hard. Have you ever trained for something? And I'm not talking about like a food eating competition. When you start training for something challenging, day one, you want to be done. And you want all the results. Day one, I'm done, I look awesome. But really we know it's a few months later, after the stretching and the challenges and the sweat and the tears, right? This is how, if we're going to get in and to truly proclaim and to truly come in and tell, we need to learn the word of God. We also need to live the word. It's one thing to learn it, it's another thing to live it. We're going to live it out loud for this next generation. Trailhead Church will learn and live the word out loud for this next generation. Amen? I got a stamper outside. We're going to put that on our foreheads. So when you go home, you look in the mirror and that's what you're going to read. This is simply who we are. We will not deny ourselves. And then, and why do we live the word? Because, man, when you live the word, it's encouraging to others. I love being around people that live the word. They encourage me to want to press in and go deeper. You too? Anybody else? When you get around someone that they're living it and you're like, oh, man, God did that for them. He'll do it for me. And then we need to receive the word. That's when you plant it deep. When you receive the word, then you're going to, that's where inspiration comes. You'll begin to inspire this next generation to follow along with you. The number three, with a heart to see all come to know him and fulfill their God-given purpose. So how are we going to this next generation? Number three, that we have a heart to see all to come to know him and to fulfill their God-given purpose. And that's simply asking yourself the question, do I really care? That's a hard one, right? Do I care? And then we take that care, we take that compassion, and we take that love, and we put it into an action plan, right? Whenever God has a true burden on your heart, that there's an action plan that comes alongside of it. And it could be from a place of intercession. It could be from a place of serving here in your local church. It could be in the community. It could be as a teacher that God, he's going to inspire you to do something just unique in your school that you can use to be a light for the kingdom of God. For me, whenever I was 6 years old, Dorothy C., she was my Sunday school teacher. And we're sitting at a little table in Sunday school class, and she's the one that prayed with me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember it like it was yesterday. God using her because she cared. So she became a church grandma to me. And once, twice a month, all throughout elementary school up until middle school, I went home with her after church on Sundays. We had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday growing up. And so in between, I wanted to go to her house because if I was at my house, my dad was always preaching. He would make me stay in my room for 3 hours while he took a nap. And I couldn't leave my room. So Dorothy C's house was way more fun. She'd have me come spend the night, and she always had a fresh bag of Doritos for me. She was grandma. She was grandma then whenever she led me, led me through the prayer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Dorothy's husband was unsaved. He did not come to church. Her family did not come to church. Dorothy came to church. She didn't care. She was an example. She was full of the word of God, and she cared. Dorothy's with Jesus right now. She's relocated to heaven. She's rejoicing with him. But I look back and I am so thankful for her in my life, that God had a Dorothy C for me in New Life Church in Huntington, West Virginia. And that she chose to have a heart for the next generation. You see, we don't have to overcomplicate this. We simply have to say, I want to give him Jesus. In Psalm chapter 71, verses 14 through 18. I put a little note here at the beginning of this, and it says, I'm never going to stop. Now I'm going to read this. So I wrote this in my Bible. I am never going to stop, but I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who will come. Satan has a scheme, not a plan. He's a schemer. With discouragements, distractions, and destruction, persecution, spiritual warfare against you to silence you. Look at what Esther and the people of God went through. But then God had an Esther for that generation, and she had to choose to rise up and praise God. He had a Mordecai to minister to the Esther. And then she had a group of women to pray and fast with, to go in and then to minister to another generation, for an entire generation to be saved. Because God has a plan with a purpose and his power for your life. And what's beautiful about all of these scriptures, and a main theme, if you look, when you go back through and you read through all of these scriptures, of what really just knits these scriptures together, is they all talk about declaring the praises of God, telling the next generation about who God is, opening your mouth and speaking, going forth. That means that God has given us a voice. And it's not a voice of our own opinion of what's going on in the world. It's a voice of his promises, of who he is and what he has for his people and for his kingdom in this world. We have something to give, and his name is Jesus. And he's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And he's already been paid for. Salvation, paid in full. And then he gave us another gift on top of that, the Holy Spirit. So Pastor Josh brought up Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to read it today. We need to. It goes with this. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we know that the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent him in order for us to have power, to have boldness, to be a witness for the Lord. So you have no excuse if you say, it's just not me. It might not be you, but the greater one living on the inside of you has already given you everything that you need. And God's not going to ask you to do something that you just hate. Now, it might be something outside of your comfort zone. You might have told him no before. We got plenty of people in the Word of God that told the Lord no. Hey, well, not me. Not me, God. He said, oh, you. But that goes back to last week's message. It's because he wants you to fully depend upon him and his power and who he is in your life. Then we're going to finish with Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Because this just puts it all together. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I'm going to read verse 16 too. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Knowing that you are right standing with God in Christ, full of peace and overflowing with joy to grow the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Praise God that we can come in and fellowship and have those things, but that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, knowing that we are right standing with God in Christ Jesus. This is what we're giving to the next generation, knowing that we have full joy, overflowing joy to serve the Lord with gladness, with thanksgiving, and that the Prince of Peace is living on the inside of us. How much more does this next generation need to know that Jesus can set them free? How much more does this generation need to know that they don't have to live in depression, in oppression, battling suicidal thoughts, that they can be free in their mind because of the precious blood of Christ? How much more does this generation need to know that they can be filled with joy? Have you been with kids lately? The last several times we've been with children, you start in there and they're all like, they've gone through some hard things these last couple of years. Tough stuff. Where the enemies just try to come in and zap their joy for being a kid, enjoying life. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. In church, we have a mandate to take this to the next generation, to give them Jesus. Trailhead Church specifically, we are a thriving church. When I was back in there, we had 46 second through fifth graders. And two adult workers, I just came and pressed in, and there is a need in the body of Christ for each of us to rise up and to help these kids find Bible verses and to help them come in and to know who they are, to walk alongside of them. In youth, the last couple of Wednesdays, they've had, what, 46, 47 teenagers? My study group on Wednesday nights, 18 to 29-year-olds, we've doubled since last semester. We're having fun. And God's doing great things. Why? Because this generation is a generation for Jesus. The Word of God says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. What are we praying for? Laborers. For people to truly have a burden and a compassion and a heart to say, God, I'm willing and I'm ready. Use me. So we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray for this generation corporately for what God is doing, because this is how it gets stirred up. Amen. As a church body, we're going to pray. So as we begin to pray, you can kneel at your seat. You can kneel at this altar. You can stand. You get comfortable. I want you to begin to pray. You possibly, maybe God's leading you this morning. You have unsaved family members. You have specifics. God might have some specifics for you today. But we're going to begin to speak life, and we're going to pray for laborers, and we're going to be led by the Spirit. And Trailhead Church is a part of God's kingdom. The same way Jesus received them and spoke a blessing is the same way we are. And God is expanding our tent poles and adding increase to our vision for the next generation of what he has for us. Amen? So I'm not the only one praying. I need y'all to jump on in and be a part of this. So you guys ready? Everybody ready? Y'all with me? Amen? Amen? Balcony, love you guys. Y'all with me? Oh, teachers, we're also going to pray for teachers this morning. Okay, let's start with that. If you're a teacher, go ahead and stand up so we can see you. Or you work as a teacher or work with students. Teachers, we have any teachers in the house? Stand up. All right, we got a few. You work with students. Okay, teachers up there. All right, if you're around a teacher, I want us to pray for them, okay? So you can reach a hand. You can go near them. Keep standing. I want you to pray for them. If you're around a teacher, we're going to begin to pray for our teachers right now. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for every teacher in this house. I thank you, Lord, that they are in a position of influence for the kingdom of God, that you are strengthening them. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for renewing and refreshing their vision for what you have called them to do. For every teacher watching online, Lord, I thank you that right now a refreshing is taking place. A refreshing is taking place over them from the top of their heads to the tips of their toes, and a fire burning in their belly to give the children Jesus. A fire burning in their belly to declare the wonderful works of God and the praises of God. And I thank you, Lord, for increase and strength and provision and blessing. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, what the enemy has tried to steal in these past couple of years can't be stolen. You are fully restoring and refreshing and bringing to pass all that you have called and all that you have given for this generation. And you are using each one of these teachers in a mighty way. Lord, we thank you for it. And send them laborers, send them people to come alongside of them. Send them people, Father, to lift them up. And I thank you for their spouses, and I thank you for their own children and their homes and their families. We speak a blessing over them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we lift up this generation. We thank you, Lord, that this is a generation for Jesus, that Trailhead Church, we're a part of the solution for the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you have drawn all of these children and all of these students and all of these college students to Trailhead Church for such a time as this. And Lord, that we have future worship pastors. We have future children's pastors. We have future youth leaders. We have future missionaries. We have future pastors. We have future evangelists. We have future teachers. We have children that are rising up in boldness and in truth, proclaiming the praises of God. And I thank you, Lord, that in this house right now, you are speaking to the hearts of many to press in deeper, to expand their tent pegs for a greater vision, new vision, renewed vision, to teach the gospel as an example of Jesus Christ to a group and a generation of children that need to know him in truth, in sincerity, in the power of God. And Lord, that it's not in our strength, and it's not in our might, and it's not in our power, but it's in yours. It is your power that is at work on the inside of us, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for provision for Trailhead Church in doing greater works in the name of Jesus. Enough's enough. It's time for more. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for ministering. And Lord, Holy Ghost wake-up calls taking place in this house of pressing in to be used for the kingdom of God. We lift up Pastor Christian and Pastor James. And we thank you, Lord, for the mighty hand of God upon Trailhead Kids. Lord, that you are saturating her, that you have equipped her for such a time as this and their family, and how you use them in our student ministries in a greater measure, in a greater measure, in a greater measure. I thank you for dreams and visions in a greater measure. I thank you, Father, you have fully equipped them, Lord, to take a step further, to take a step further right now. And God, that you're sending laborers to come in and to come alongside of them and to help and to press in. We call out leaders. Just like in the early church when they had to set in leaders, we call out leaders to come in for these classrooms. We call out teachers to come in for these classrooms. We call out student ministry, people to come and disciple the teenagers within Switchback Youth. I thank you for Pastor Philip and Kelly. We speak a blessing over their home. We speak a blessing over all that they have obediently sown into, with full provision coming in, full restoration in the name of Jesus, and increase. And we thank you, Lord, for Switchback Youth, that we are taking this community by storm. And we pray for Holy Ghost boldness for every one of our teenagers at Trailhead Church, that they will come to know you. But God, use us. Show us how to minister, how to press in, how to love, how to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Use us. and open the doors, God, in this community, that we can be used in a greater measure for this community and for this generation. Wide open doors in the school system. Wide open doors in the neighborhoods, Father. Supernatural favor with God and man to go forth in the name of Jesus. Supernatural favor in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for our generation in this church that are 50 and up. God, they have something beautiful to give to this next generation. I thank you for new dreams and a new passion to pour into this next generation for the kingdom of God to grow. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the 30s and 40s. God, that they can shake off self and the cares of this world and truly come to a place of obedience before you. To live, Lord, of all that you have for us. Lord, we're so thankful. God, we thank you for our 20-somethings in this house. Ooh, it's such a time to be 20-something. I thank you, God, for plans and purposes being birthed into them this very moment of this very hour. All they see is you and all that you have for them in Jesus' name. They'll not look to the right or to the left, but Lord, they'll press forward. Lord, I thank you for the staff of Trailhead Church and the leadership here. Supernatural increase and provision to do greater things. Lord, that our hearts are broken before you for this generation. Whew. That we want more. That church, we want more. God, I pray that for every person in here, it is unacceptable for this generation not to be taken care of in the kingdom of God. That it becomes unacceptable for us not to declare the praises and the strength and the wondrous works of Christ. And Lord, I pray for a Holy Ghost boldness for each person in this house. As they press forward, they have a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God to pour in, not to hinder, not to hurt, not as a stumbling block, but to flourish, to see a harvest come forth. We thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. If you have never made Jesus Lord over your life this morning, it begins there. If you're far from Christ and you know you need him, man, the blood of Jesus is drawing you near. He's drawing you near. This morning, before you leave, right here to my left at those two doors, I'm going to ask our prayer team. They're going to stand up and head on back there. If you don't know Christ, you feel that you just, man, Pastor Anna, I need just to get in and have someone pray with me. Maybe your family, you've been going through something. You feel like you've been far. You've not been living as an example, and you just need strengthened. We've got some great resources back there in the Word. I want you to head back to that prayer room. We've got a whole group of people that are excited to pray with you, to come alongside of you. Today, we had a shift take place at Trailhead Church for this generation. By the Spirit of God. Yeah, you rejoice. By the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm excited about what God is planting and stirring in your heart. And here at Trailhead Church, we have so many different opportunities for you to be a part of. And listen, the Living Faith Crusade is a great opportunity to serve. We have many spots open still where we need you to use your gifts and talents to help come in and be a blessing. We do. God wants to use you. We got opportunities in the nursery. Tuesday and Monday, we have more opportunities of people to serve. The curriculum, you guys, the Lord, he's put together some super fun things. It's going to be a blast. We also have opportunities to greet and to usher. We need more ushers for those 3 days. Praise God. Press in. Be a part of pouring into this next generation. Amen. Amen.